Okay, let's get started. Welcome to the Q&A session with JJ. JJ's on. Hi, JJ. How are you doing?
Awesome.
And we got so many questions. We also know that people are here live, and so we're going to weave some of the questions that we got within the Teams and also sent to us, and then we'll also be asking for questions. And there's a moderator, Natasha, here will be able to explain how you do that. And we will just get started.
All right. I love the questions, by the way. I love them. There's some just awesome questions in here. So
good.
That always makes it fun. All right, so here we go. Why no popcorn, and what do you think about the raw foods type diet and doing green drinks raw food style? Starting with the popcorn. In being full disclosure here, popcorn probably is my favorite food on the planet.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so corn in general is a very reactive food, one that we tend to be more allergic to. As we know, corn is not a vegetable. It's a grain, and a very high glycemic grain at that. What do I mean by that? That means that it really raises blood sugar. And if you're raising blood sugar, you're raising insulin. If you're raising insulin, you're storing fat, not burning it. And I don't know about you, Jackie, but I want food to tell my body to burn fat, not store it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
So why no popcorn? A, because even air pop popcorn, okay, because popcorn is high glycemic, number one. Number two, corn in general is more reactive. Number three, corn is one of the most genetically modified crops right there with soy. So most corn is going to get genetically modified. Having said that, if you don't react to corn, because right now, remember, it's a washout period. We're taking all the potentially reactive foods out. So popcorn's got to go net right now. If you found out that corn didn't really hurt you, maybe you could do a little organic corn popped in coconut oil with sea salt. However, I will tell you that if I do that, I've tried this three times where I've had a little corn popped in coconut oil, and I am like an addict, okay? So I have to then throw all the corn kernels away and take it outside to the big trash because I will dig it out and make more. So if you can handle it and you can make yourself a cup or two and you can be done with it, but I find that to be really a trigger food. Like, really, are you eating one cup of popped popcorn and you're done with it? I don't think so.
So that's a great point because I actually would just eat one cup. I can take or leave popcorn. So I could do that, but you have to know who you are.
Right, but you wouldn't be asking this question. You wouldn't be the person saying, "Why no popcorn?"
I would not. I would not. You're absolutely right.
Right. Okay. So absolutely. I'm thinking she's saying, "Why no popcorn?" And see, I naturally assumed it's a she, but I might be wrong. But I naturally assume this person's saying, "Why no popcorn?" because they're a popcorn lover.
Right.
And I think there's this idea out there for some reason that popcorn is healthier than chips. Popcorn is chips. Okay. Popcorn is chips.
I'm glad you clarified that. Definitely thought it was healthier than chips. That's so funny.
Because it's classified that way. Do you know that a bucket of movie popcorn is the same as chips? But no one would eat a bucket of chips, but they eat a bucket. It's unbelievable. Now they have those bottomless buckets. I mean, it's just like that's a whole other story as to why we feel we need to sit in a movie and eat. Anyway, we won't go there right now.
Yeah.
What do you think about the raw foods type diet and doing green drinks raw food style? You know, I can always spot the raw food vegan people a mile away. They're pale and soft. But raw foods type diet, there is definitely a place in our diet for great raw foods, but not everything. And, in fact, if you look just at some of the real classic diets, which I think when you become a nutritionist, in my programs I actually had to study Ayurvedic, I had to study Chinese medicine, and I think it's really important to understand all the different areas. And they don't believe in eating all your foods raw. You know, some foods are much better digested, protein especially, if you cook it. So some foods shouldn't be eaten raw, A. B, I think that you should have a good percentage of your vegetables raw. Like I love 50% or more of your vegetables eaten raw or very lightly steamed to keep the enzymes intact. But, having a whole raw foods diet probably means then you're on a vegan diet. And It's really hard to get your essential amino acids that way, and you're going to be deficient in B12 and probably iron, et cetera. Now, as doing green drinks raw food style, I'm not sure if you just mean doing, like, throwing a bunch of greens in the juicer and then drinking the whole thing. If so, that, like,
that's usually what,
you know,
meant.
Have when at it, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yay on that. Okay. Next one. You want to read the question? I'll say the answer.
One second.
Oh, I threw it away. Okay. All right. Then I'll do number one. Okay. So then, Jackie, get prepared.
Yes. One second.
What were you, like, surfing the internet or something?
Okay. No, I actually wasn't. I had two different documents with all these different questions passed to me, so I was.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because Jackie and I had this whole conversation about buying shoes on eBay, and I thought, oh my gosh,
I think I was in the wrong one. Hold on one second.
Right, okay, I'm buying shoes. Hold on. Okay, so when you mention beans in some of the recipes, can they be organic but canned and rinsed? Absolutely. I am not going to soak my beans. So, I mean, you know, bless you if you're one of those people, but I'm not. So, yes. I'm not clear on what I can use to replace the Vegalite and Medibulk in the shakes. Can you give some suggestions for protein, but not sure about the I gave some suggestions for protein, yes. So you saw the suggestions for protein. And honestly, here's the thing. We would have packaged this whole thing together as one, but the challenge is we have international people, and they can't buy the shakes and fiber here. So I've looked at all the shakes and fibers. I cannot find a better shake for less money than what we have. It just doesn't exist out there. So, and besides, if you have not tried that chocolate Vegalite, you owe it to yourself to take chocolate Vegalite and use coconut milk. If you like coffee, a little bit of either a decaf coffee powder or a little espresso and some chia seeds, and you will blow your mind out. Honestly, it's the best, yummiest thing ever. But as far as Metabulk, listen, the reason I love Metabulk, and I know some of you said I used a lot and it was slimy. Well, it's slimy because it's mucilaginous, which heals your gut. That's a good thing. It's got a blend of psyllium, prune, and apple pectin fibers, and that's another good thing. I really like blended fibers. What you want to look for in a fiber is look for one that's a blend, more soluble than insoluble, because, you know, we do want to have some insoluble fiber, but that can actually irritate your gut lining a little bit, too much of it. The soluble is very gut healing, and that's what we're really focusing on here. But you got to watch things like Metamucil, because if you go on to Metamucil's website, first of all, it's only psyllium, but if you look at what they've put in there, they've made a good thing bad. Shame on you. There's sugar, there's artificial coloring. So they have the sugar-free. I mean, so they've got sugar, they've got artificial sweeteners, artificial colors, colorings, sugar, all this stuff. No. I mean, if you're international and you can't get a fiber blend where you are, then chia seeds, freshly ground flaxseed meal, hemp seed, and salba. Those are some of the other options out there. But I especially like using a fiber blend and then one of those as well. I mean, I will tell you that I massively crank up the fiber. I like people to bring their fiber levels up to 50 grams or more a day, and that's pretty hard to do unless you're using a fiber supplement along with eating high-fiber foods. Number three, can dried spices be used if you can't find the real thing? Absolutely, but what you want to make sure of there is that you are getting non-irradiated spices. So just make sure you're getting the organic ones. And I'm happy to say, and I don't know where you are, but, you know, I kind of bounce between California and Chicago, and both places here you can get them in the supermarket. So organic spices, that's really important. That's very sprayed crop, and then they irradiate them. Irradiate, is that right? Irradiate them. Sounds wrong. Yeah. I'm right, right?
I think you are. Yeah, irradiate.
Okay. Anyway, that's it now. We made it a new word, if not. Okay, I purchased the kit. Is there an optimal time to take the vitamin pack? Is it better to take it in the morning? Will the shake be ample food in the tummy? Hey, you know, that's really going to be up to you. I find, you know, I'm one of those people, I'm fine with it, but some people who are more sensitive might need to take it in their evening meal. So a lot of questions on when the best time to take that pack is. See how you feel. If you need to take it with more food, then take it with the evening meal. The most important thing is take it. Okay, now, with the other products, the BioGest, the Berber caps, and the probiotic, the Bacillus coagulans, what a silly name for a product, isn't that? Anyway, for those ones, take the Berber caps, see how you feel with those. You know, those could be 30 minutes away from a meal, but if you need to, you can take those with a meal. BioJust 1 to 2 with your meals. You don't need those with shakes. And probiotic, generally you can take with food is fine. So see how you do there. But when you move into them, we'll be talking about in the final call how to kind of where do we go from here. So that call's coming, but that's you're still in your first week, so hold your horses. You have going through week two. But when we do get to our final call, we'll talk about, you know, what types of supplements you should stay on for the long haul. And I recommend taking a twice-a-day pack. And at that point, you will probably, if you can't handle it so much with a shake, because I like people to stay on a shake for life. I start every single day with a shake wherever I am. I travel with a Magic Bullet blender. And I generally take my supplement baggies with lunch and dinner. Okay.
All right. I have it open now. I can hear the next one. All right. JJ and Jackie, I already use whey protein in my morning shakes. I see that pea rice protein is suggested. I do not believe I have a dairy allergy. Is that the only reason why you're recommending we stay away from whey? Are you suggesting I put aside the whey protein and buy pea rice protein for the cleanse?
Yes. I guess I need to fill in the blanks, right? I can't just say yes. Okay, here's the deal. This is the interesting thing, and you probably asked this question before class one. But the deal is you won't know that you have a dairy sensitivity unless you do one of two things. Either you do a food sensitivity test, which looks at IgG food sensitivities and looks to see if you have a sensitivity to dairy, or you totally pull dairy out, ideally for 3 to 4 weeks, at least 2 weeks, and then, and 100%, not 99%, I told the story during, I think, the first call that I used to have this Americano with a little bit of foamy milk each day, and that little bit was cranking me into a very reactive state with dairy.
So yeah, and I took it out completely, 100% at the start of the cleanse. And I kept thinking it's just a little tiny milk. It's just a little bite of the pizza that they're offering at Whole Foods when I pass by. I took it out completely. And my skin is different after 5 days.
Dairy is a nightmare for acne. It is. I mean, when you look at it, dairy, why do we – milk makes things grow. I mean, look at calves feed it to their – or mama cows feed it to their calves to make them grow. It's got big growth factors, tons of hormones. Raises anabolic hormones, raises testosterone. So dairy makes things grow. I don't, especially things on your face. But you don't know if you have a low-grade dairy sensitivity until you absolutely pull it out. And that's really the answer to that. I didn't know that I had one until I pulled it out, until I actually saw the test because I was such a baby I wouldn't pull it out. I had to yell at you. I was like, that's it, Jackie. So you need to pull it out completely. You can't do a cleanse and have reactive foods that could be causing endotoxic responses in your diet. That won't work. Then you're not cleansing because a big source of toxic response is from food reactions. So we've got to get those gone. Also, you know, if you do find out that you can handle dairy and you can handle whey, you'd want to rotate it in because even though you're okay with it right now, you can build up a sensitivity to it. It's a way more reactive food. The reason I chose pea and rice, and I'm going to answer some questions that I've seen further down within this answer, is because it's got such a low allergenicity profile, and barely anybody ever reacts to pea or rice. And that's why, especially when you put them together, it's something you can do for the long haul. But not the case with dairy. I mean, when I do food sensitivity testing, 70% of people react to dairy, eggs, or both. It's a highly reactive food. So just because you're not reacting to it right now, by the way, let's say that you find out after doing this that really you're okay with it, doesn't mean that you'll be okay with it forever, because you can damage your gut at any point through stress, through antibiotics, through NSAIDs, through birth control pills, through acid blockers, poor diet. And should you do that, you know, too much gluten, then you can get a leaky gut, and then foods like that, the highly reactive foods, will start to have a problem. So if you found that you didn't have an issue now, you want to make sure that you are rotating that food into your diet and not eating it on a daily basis. Okay.
Okay, next one. Also, and then maybe after two more, we'll take some live calls. Also, I didn't order the MediBulk. Do you think I will have regularity problems with this meal plan? Thanks so much.
Okay, well, first of all, MediBulk is not just for regularity. So I don't know if you'll have regularity problems with this meal plan because I know nothing about you.
Yeah,
I wish I did. I'd love to know more. You know, and I love it when people talk about their poop. I don't know what it is about me. But, you know, if you have regularity problems, we talked about this, exercise is key. And slowly bringing your fiber up. I was reading a question from someone that really made me think this person brought their fiber way up way fast. Lots of water in between your meals. Magnesium and vitamin C. There's a product from Thorne called magnesium citrate that I love, and I start with 3 at night, and I bring it up to maybe, you know, as much as 6. An Epsom salts bath is fabulous because you get the magnesium from that. And prunes in your morning shake. You can throw a couple prunes in. Hot water with lemon in the morning, giving yourself time. Some people just rush out. Come on, give yourself some time. And if all else fails, which I really never see that happen, there's a product from Thorne called Herbal Laxative that is the rock star. I just want you to only use it to get things going. I think it's something you should take with you when you travel, just in case, you know, things get stuck when you travel, which is just can really make a fun trip not fun. Now, the other thing that I'll tell you is MediBulk is not just there for the fiber. The right types of fiber can actually heal a leaky gut. Fiber feeds good bacteria, and good bacteria is critical for being able to absorb your nutrients and make vitamins, certain vitamins you make in your gut. Fiber, of course, is also very detoxifying. It improves transit time, it improves elimination, and it lowers LDL. So it's more than just regularity. Okay, and again, my little ideal number for fiber is 50 grams a day. Great sources of fiber, berries, raw nuts and seeds, lentils are, you know, those are my top choices for great fiber. But, you know, it's hard to get enough just from that, so that's where you kick it in with things like MediBulk. I just love MediBulk because it's got that really nice blend, and I see so many fibers out there where they throw in artificial colorings or sugar or something ridiculous like that.
Great, yeah. I was on to the next question. We'll take one more question, then we'll start live because we have a lot of people. The next question, and this is, I think, is an excellent question to ask. Isn't the real reason you lose weight on a cleanse like this because of the low calorie intake on a daily basis?
You know, it's so funny. So I just sold a book based on this plan, and I've met with so many publishers, and they asked this exact same question, and actually, no. And, you know, calories do count, but where they come from counts more. And what's interesting is this plan is very different in what it does because it's going to have two different impacts hormonally. Number one, because you're pulling out foods that your body could react to, when your body reacts to foods, it creates inflammation. And so the first thing that you'll start to see is fast weight loss. And I know we've seen it already on the forum. And people saying, wait a minute, I haven't been able to lose weight, and all of a sudden, boom. It's because they're reducing their inflammation. And you see this dramatic 5 to 10 pounds in a week or two. And I see it over and over and over again. And, you know, I've been doing this 25 years. I've put people on a calorie-restricted diet and not seen this. But when you pull out foods that I say could be holding your health hostage, that your body's reacting to, that's creating inflammation, it's a totally different deal. The second thing is we're also reducing the glycemic load in the diet, right? And we're lowering both, you know, we're lowering the blood sugar response, which means it lowers the insulin response, which then allows your body to start using fat for fuel. So we're now facilitating fat loss too. And by reducing inflammation, we also improve insulin sensitivity, which then again means your body can spend fat for fuel. So it is way beyond just cutting calories. And, you know, I would love to take one group and give them the exact same amount of calories but give them from a high carbohydrate, you know, more grain-based diet. Give them dairy, give them grains, right, give them eggs, and then put the other one on this, and you would see a massive difference. Maybe I will do that just to prove a point. I got to find the group that wants to eat eggs, dairy, and grains.
I'm so glad you asked that because I know that so many people have that question. So, Natasha, now we will go to some live questions, and she'll tell you the instructions, everyone on the call, of how to do that, and probably start that in about a minute. But, Natasha, we can start.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question now or at any time during the call, please press star zero on your telephone.
And so everything gets queued up, JJ. And so now I'm, you know, going to a couple of these questions. Because some of these questions actually have been answered, so I'm just going in succession to make sure that everyone gets.
So I do want to address one, though. This question is, should I discontinue my regular vitamins and supplements right now when I start the cleanse or not at all? What I'm going to tell you about that, if you're sure of what you're purchasing, and that's why, honestly, we're using Thorn Research, because they are gluten-free, lactose-free. There's no magnesium stearate, stearic acid, ascorbyl palmitate, no colorings, no tablets. Okay, if you are sure of that, that they're gluten-free and lactose-free, that they don't have mag stearate, they don't have stearic acid, they don't have ascorbyl palmitate, they don't have polysorbate 80, they don't have, I'm trying to think of what, I mean, because it's amazing the garbage they throw in these. They aren't in tablets. They don't have colorings. If they're pure, great, high-level, high-quality supplements, then absolutely you can keep going with them. But I will tell you, I was using some products for a while that had magnesium stearate, and I had so many GI problems. So you want to make sure that you aren't throwing something that's actually causing more problems for you.
I'm glad you answered that too, because quite a few people had that. A lot of people are already taking supplements, and you know that this cleanse is going to be really making some different things happen in your body. So it's such a good question to ask, and it's also good to really know, hey, you know, how is this going to make my system different and work?
You know what I'd love to do too, Jackie, and I love that you've got a very sophisticated audience, I've noticed, and just from the questions that are getting asked too, of people who really do their research and really want to know. And there is that magnesium stearate video that we posted. I think I sent it over to you guys. That would be a great thing for you to post so everyone can understand why you don't want to take supplements that are made with either magnesium stearate, stearic acid, or ascorbyl palmitate as a flow agent, because once you do, they use them in machines to make the machines run faster, because it's benign, supposedly, and it makes the machines run faster, but they go into your capsules, and the smallest percent will actually make the result of the supplement then unpredictable, because we then don't know how much you'll actually absorb because it binds up the nutrient. And depending on how much you take, and that was my challenge, I was taking a lot of supplements that had mag stearate in it because I'd always been told it was, you know, safe, but it's over time can create problems. But I was also not absorbing a lot of the nutrients I was taking because they were bound up by the mag stearate. So I would love to have people have that information too. It's really important to get out there.
Excellent. So we're still waiting for the queue in terms of the live questions, and I'm just going through.
Jackie, next is the operator. We actually do have some questions. Would you like to take them?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, our first question comes from Shawnee. Shawnee, please go ahead.
Hi. I live internationally, and I'm not able to get the protein powder. And so I've been making my own, and I was just curious if that's what I should be doing or if I should switch to a different type of meal. I've just been adding some almonds after my shake, but my shake is mostly made out of carbs and fruit. I use other grains, rice, powders from beans, legumes.
Where do you live?
I live in Italy.
Italy. So I just don't know what they would have there. You can always do more of the, you know, you can always eat the meal rather than having the shake. So when you look at what we've done,
just vegetables and a protein.
Yeah, because what I'm worried about is that you're not getting enough clean, lean protein. I mean, ideally you could do this cleanse, and honestly, I've used the shakes because it makes it so much easier for people, you know. And I was just,
I love Italy. I'm jealous of you. However, when I was there, I certainly didn't see anything I can think of that I could tell you could replace it with. However, you have loads of vegetables, so that makes it easy. So what I would tell you is, if you can do, say, how tall are you?
5'7".
Okay, so let's say that you did 6 ounces of protein, 5 to 6 ounces of protein, fish, chicken, turkey, clean, loads of vegetables, a little bit of olive oil, and then starting in week two and maybe a little bit of lentils or quinoa or rice, and in week two you would take it if you want to, depending if you want to facilitate some weight loss, you'd bring that down, and then you could have a little bit of berries with your meals as well. So you can just skip the shakes. Have clean, lean protein, loads of vegetables, a little bit of healthy fat. Like the plate, remember the plate?
Like maybe a half a cup of carbs.
Yeah, so just like what we did with dinner, you can just have dinner, right?
Wonderful. Okay.
You can just have, and that's why I teach people, honestly, in the real world, I say what most people eat for breakfast is dessert, honestly.
I became like that. I used to eat very healthy for breakfast, and my husband has a cafe that sells pastries, and I ended up the past couple of years eating pastries in the morning, and that's the thing that's been holding me back for the past year. So
it's funny, when I traveled to Italy, I brought my magic bullet with me. I almost blew it up in one of the hotel rooms, but because we saw everywhere they served breakfast, it was like pastries and ham. I'm like, oh, real tough. So if you're getting to the States, you should load up on some protein powder and bring it back. Maybe that's your business. Bring protein powder in.
Well, at least I've stopped the sugar for a few days, and so I can substitute with another meal. But nothing big like oatmeal or anything like that. I need to keep it.
Well, we're going to, in week two, bring the carbs down. But, it really is going to depend on if you want to lose weight or not. What I have people
right.
do.
No, and I need to keep the carbs down. I'm pretty insulin resistant, so.
Well, then, that wouldn't be the way you want to start the day.
Okay.
Yeah, you could
When could I add in eggs?
I'm going to talk about that. Class 3, you have to wait. You don't get to find out ahead of time. So, but I will tell you. I'm not going to hold you in suspense. But you could also, let's say for breakfast, you could have some sliced turkey. And some raspberries and some almonds.
Okay.
And I have soup. I usually have soup and a protein sometimes for breakfast, and then sometimes I have a shake for lunch just because I have different tastes. So it's really whatever you're substituting at other times.
My husband will look at me strange, but I don't mind doing that. Wonderful. Thank you for that. That clears up a lot. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so we can move on to the next caller.
And just a quick reminder, it is *0 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Lori. Lori, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking the call and putting this program together. I had a question about adding non-starchy vegetables to the meal where you're having the shake. So, Jackie had mentioned adding kale to her shakes. That's something that I was doing before the cleanse started. I would have a green smoothie in the morning. So how can we get the number of vegetables in without eating them all at one meal? Are we supposed to be adding them to the shake meals or just doing it to the one meal that we're not having a shake?
Hey, if you can add them to the shake meal, fabulous. That's just awesome. And what you'll find when we get to class 3 and we move into how do you sustain it? Where do you go from here? That you are going to be eating two meals with loads of vegetables, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but for now, if you can throw some kale and some spinach into your shake, yay. Or even have a side of steamed broccoli. And I'll tell you, I often do that at lunch, is I will do a shake and then I'm going through a big roasted cauliflower phase right now. So I'll either do some roasted cauliflower. I just have to make it fast and then run in my room and hide because my kids
hunt me down for it. But I'll either make roasted cauliflower, which I toss with coconut oil and sea salt, and then I roast in the oven, and it is the most amazing thing ever and smells great while it's roasting. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah.
I did that with asparagus the other day. So, yeah, so you could do that, or you could throw it in your shake. I mean, honestly, the more vegetables, the better. So great on that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the last couple of days, you know, in addition to having the cleanse super soup, whatever it is, the broccoli and cauliflower soup at dinner, and having another cup with lunch. So, again, I'm just trying to get some more vegetables in. And I've lost about 2.5 pounds this week. So I feel like I'm on the right track.
Yes.
So the goal is.
Well, how do you feel?
I feel great. You know, I felt pretty good before. I feel really great now. I was really just trying to get off the processed foods, you know, get the wheat and the corn and the sugar out of my diet. So I'm feeling great. I'm a vibrant vegan. I'm not a pasty vegan. I'm a vibrant vegan.
Okay. I'll take the word for it.
We're not all pasty and pale.
Well, where are you getting your protein then if we're going to do this with pea rice? Because that's one you're going to want to keep for the long haul
in
your diet,
so
right?
I've been using the pea rice for my shakes. And then in the soup, the pureed cauliflower and broccoli soup, I've been putting 2 scoops of it in there. So I took your advice not to do a lot of beans and rice because that would get my carb count up too high. So I'm just using unflavored pea and rice protein. And that seems to be working.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Great.
That's great. And you do take a good vegan multi and some DHA and things like that?
Yeah, and I see a functional medicine doctor who watches my
blood work annually,
so I feel pretty good about what I'm doing.
Yeah, because I have a couple vegans who I've worked with, you know, and actually Alex Jamieson's a good friend of mine, so we laugh and we should take pictures so see the vegan and the paleo girl can get along. but one thing I do tell vegans is to do an amino acid profile to, and then customize their aminos. So I have them take custom aminos. At the very least, Thorne's got a product called Metaplex that I love. And take some amino acids once or twice a day on an empty stomach. And then, of course, I love the B-complex number 12. It's a great one for vegans. And then the DHA, which is the vegan DHA from algae, is another one. And then the extra nutrients, or I'm sorry, no, I use nutrients 4 because it's got iron and copper in it. It's the supplement I recommend. So those are all the ones that I have vegans use, because you can be a healthy vegan, and if someone is doing it for spiritual reasons, I'm not going to mess with that. It's just if they're doing it for health reasons, we're going to get in their face. So that's all. But you're doing your great. I love that you're focusing on making sure you're getting your protein in. So yay for you. A+.
Great. Thanks. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll go to the next caller.
At this time, we do not have any questions.
Great. Okay, so we are going to move on to the next questions in terms of people writing in. So I currently do CrossFit at least 3 times a week. After an intense workout where I'm pushed to my max limit, I normally follow up with a recovery drink, 60-40 carbs protein. So I'm guessing 60% carbs. It is good quality, but has egg white protein, cold filtered whey protein isolate, and maltodextrin in it. I feel like this drink really helps my soreness, but I was wondering if I should skip it during the cleanse. If so, should I replace it with something else?
Yeah, you've skipped all over here. So here's what I would tell you about this. Yes, you should skip it during the cleanse because we have to find out if eggs or, and it's the egg whites that people react to, by the way, not the yolks, or whey have something to do with it. If you can tolerate whey, it's a very nice recovery drink. So I like what you're doing here. But you can use the pea rice shake for now as your recovery drink instead with some fruit in it, and that's how you make it have the carb protein ratio that you're using right now. As far as soreness goes, I'm going to give you a couple things that you can do for soreness that are just amazing. Number one, of course, if you threw in chia or freshly ground flax or hemp into your shake, that's going to help because you do get some omega-3s. And also taking fish oil, or of course eating, I eat fish a lot, so I don't take so much fish oil anymore because I eat a lot of fish, but I take an omega-3-6 blend called, I'm trying to remember what it's called from Thorne, omega something. I'll find the name of it. But the other thing that's great for inflammation, and this has been my favorite. I use it with my son does parkour, which is this just brutal, like, you know, standing. It's sort of like Cirque du Soleil over buildings. So he takes this. It's called Mareva, and it's a special phytosomal curcumin. And it is amazing. You will never need NSAIDs again if you use Mareva. So that's another one, Jackie, that I would tell you to get on the site along with the Mega Plus. So you could use the pea rice protein shake with fruit in it as your recovery shake, throw in a little bit of chia seeds, and then try adding into your diet things that help reduce inflammation naturally, and that would be Mareva and the Omega Plus are two things you could look at there.
Oh, good. Okay. The next one, Jackie and JJ, I see a number of Thorn products on Amazon. Do you also put your seal of approval on their multivitamins and other supplements? It would be nice to have a go-to vendor for these things. And also on the same topic, I currently take D3, multi-calcium, BC, and an immune support supplement daily. Do I want to taper these off? And I know you addressed this a little bit before, or quit cold turkey as I incorporate the shakes. Thank you.
Okay, so again, it depends on the quality of the supplements. And so, you know, if they qualify for what I told you before, then that's fine to stay on them. I wouldn't go off of them. If you are taking calcium, make sure you're taking magnesium. Okay, that's another thing. And then as far as Thorn on Amazon, so what we're doing is we are going through and we're really creating a great kind of like online, I don't know, we're kind of a wellness pharmacy online through Peer Trainer, of the top products from Thorn, how to use them, what they're good for. Just like I explained about Mareva, which is just, I mean, one of those things everybody should have in their medicine cabinet, because if you get a little bit of sore, I've had 5 knee surgeries, so Mareva is always, it's always with me.
Wow.
Yeah, except I just did a TV show today, and they took my Mareva from, it's like they had all these people who were running the Chicago Marathon. I'm like, oh, darn it, here you go. It's Mareva.
Wow.
Yeah, because I brought it on the show, and they're like, what's that? I'm like, oh, brother, okay, take it. They took my fish oil, my Mareva. But
that's what happens to your digestive enzymes, too.
Always.
You're like a
wealthy
pharmacy.
I always have those in my bag, and everyone's like, can I have some of those? I'm like, oh. So what we're doing is we're really putting together, you know, because it's so confusing to know what you need, how much you need, and when to take it. And I can see that that's a lot of these questions. And especially now, when you start to move into winter months, or if you do wear sunscreen outside, vitamin D is definitely one you want to think about always taking. Everybody needs a good multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula and fatty acids. In fact, I know that's one of the things you're going to be putting up is the wellness pack that we use. So we're going to really help you start educating on what you need, you know, and what to look for in these things and how to dose them, et cetera. So stay tuned for that. That's coming quickly because people are asking so much for it. We have to do it fast, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so here's the next question. I tried the shakes over the weekend, and I find the MediBulk. This is a very important question. And I find the MediBulk, parens, if I have a full tablespoon is used, makes the shake almost undrinkable for me. It seems to be kind of like a slimy mess, which is a little bit of what you addressed before.
Yeah.
But this morning, I made my shake as follows, and it's fine for me. The shake mix had half of a tablespoon of the MediBulk, strawberries, and 1 tablespoon of ground flaxseed. Would this be an okay substitution?
Okay, so you want to know what I think here? I don't know who this person is, but I love this person. Okay, so here's why I love this person. I love this person because he or she didn't say, "Oh, this is a slimy mess, I'm not drinking it." They said, "How can I make this something I can use?" And
right.
Figured it out. And yes, that's an okay substitution, and you are a rock star.
Fantastic. I'm glad that question came in. Okay, so the next one is, I've had food sensitivity testing through my local naturopathic college clinic, and eggs are not an issue for me. Can I eat them for protein? I don't like meat much, though I'm not a full vegetarian. Thanks.
Okay, here's the deal. Food sensitivity is a step in time. You have a food sensitivity once. If you really wanted to do it right, you'd be doing it every 6 months because food sensitivities develop over time due to, I've talked about this before, stress. Stress immediately makes the gut wall more permeable. That's how I got my leaky gut, but it's turned into a whole, like, mission for me, so it's good. birth control pills, poor diet, if you have issues, most people have issues with gluten. If you're eating a lot of gluten, it can actually shave down your gut villi and make your gut leaky. If you've got bacterial overgrowth, low stomach acid, low good bacteria, if you use antibiotics, if you use acid blockers, you're getting the idea. So the thing is, you might have had a food sensitivity test once, and that meant at the time you did it, things were fine. That has nothing to do with how things would be in 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, et cetera. Now also, even if you have a food sensitivity test and everything is fine, you should not eat foods that are higher reactivity foods like eggs, dairy, soy, corn, peanuts, yeast products, gluten, did I say that? You shouldn't eat them on a regular daily basis anyway, because if you do tend to get develop this food sensitivity leaky gut, those are the foods that it'll be with. So if eggs are not an issue for you, if this test was done recently in the last couple of months, then you can eat them, but rotate them in. Don't eat them every day, okay? And this is where I see people who are lacto-ovo-vegetarians get in trouble, because I find that they're eating soy, gluten, eggs, and dairy, soy, gluten, eggs, and dairy, soy, gluten every day. And those are such reactive foods. And so, you know, it's when you limit that variety of protein that you get in trouble. And, again, that's why I like pea rice, because it's so low reactive, low allergenicity. All right. And again, I will tell you, I was one of those people who could eat anything, and I'd always brag about it. And then, lo and behold, you know.
I was the same way. Especially since my husband has so many different sensitivities, I always sat there, you know, gosh, it must be terrible to be you. I'm so lucky. The next question, can I prepare shakes ahead of time? I'm using the ones you supplied. I'm traveling the next 2 weekends.
I'm not sure what you mean by ahead of time. Like, do you mean like, and are you refrigerating them? I mean, if you made it and you refrigerated it, it would be okay, kind of icky, though. What I would tell you, though, is easier is a magic bullet blender, because I travel all the time. So what I do is I mix my shake mix, my fiber mix, and then I throw in extra chia seeds, and I travel with that. And then I got the coconut milk. So Delicious actually makes little boxes now of coconut milk, and I travel with those because I find pretty much anywhere I am I can get some berries. And if I can't get berries, then I just make the shake. I bite the bullet. You know, I make the I make the shake with ice and coconut milk and Vegalite, and then I will eat an apple on the side. So that's how I do it. I mean, if you made a shake in the morning, kept it refrigerated, fine, but it would separate and be a little funky, so you'd have to shake it up. You can also use a shaker cup. I have done this when I burned out my blenders, which happens periodically when you use them this much. And so a shaker cup with ice and the powders and a little chia seeds works too. And sometimes I just end up doing that with a spoon in the hotel room. So that's the option.
Great. Okay, so the next thing is, it says to eat within an hour of waking up. I would like to work out during that hour and then drink my shake. Can I do that? Thanks.
Sure. Just don't make it 2 hours. Like if it's going to be more than an hour, hour and 15, make the shake, have about a fourth of it, go work out, and then finish the rest. I can't really go and work out without having a little something. So a lot of times I'll have part of my shake before I go and the rest of my shake when I come home.
Okay. So the next thing is, I don't have access to coconut milk. What do you suggest instead?
It's such a bummer.
Oh.
First of all, I'm just wondering if you really don't have access to coconut milk. Like, I bet you, there's got to be somewhere you can order it online, order the cans of it. And if you can't get the type we're using, which is 50 calories a cup, what you can do is buy coconut water and then unsweetened, and then get the canned coconut milk, and I mix it 4 parts of coconut water to 1 part of coconut milk. Or actually, no, it's 3 to 1. 1/4 cup coconut milk and 3/4 cup coconut water, or you can just plain spring water. So that's how I do it. So I really search for it because I think it's so much better with coconut milk. I mean,
I know. It's a really big difference. Even coconut water can be a bigger difference. But, I mean, coconut milk is really the ideal thing for
it. Changes everything. So see if you can order it. But if not, I mean, then I would tell you to use water. I don't drink coffee or tea. I don't like them. I usually never have caffeine. Can you list the different flavors of green tea that taste better than just plain green tea? Well, what I'd say is if you don't like these things, you don't need to have it. There is decaffeinated green tea, so you can get, you know, really it's kind of a taste flavor thing. I mean, there's all sorts of green teas out there, and they make, you know, so it just depends whether you like fruity or minty or what. But you don't have to start drinking it. I got to tell you, I'm such a fan of green tea, though. The study just came out today that it, besides helping with insulin sensitivity and the theanine calming and healing your adrenals and great antioxidant, today it's showing that it helps prevent weight regain. So you can take the green tea phytosome supplements, which that would be another great one to add to the website, Jackie. Yeah. If you're not a tea person, just take green tea supplements. There's a couple things I think are so amazing that you should take them as a supplement. Curcumin, green tea, and resveratrol. I take those every day as supplements in addition to drinking green tea and red wine. So, and those are ones we can put up too. And that would be Mariva, and then green tea, and then I use a product called polyresveratrol. All right.
We also have what about drinks like Crystal Light. Are they allowed?
Okay. Now, honestly, come on. You know that Crystal Light can't be allowed. It's got artificial sweeteners in it.
Right.
So it says, otherwise I will be just drinking water all the time. Correct. You will be just drinking water all the time.
You know, you can always squeeze it with lemon, grapefruit. I slice cucumbers, and
Cucumbers in water. Don't you love that?
Recently, I have combined sliced cucumbers with a couple sliced strawberries. Now, I know it sounds a little strange. It tastes so good, I can't stop drinking it. So there are so many ways to make your water taste good.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to jump in that one because this has always been my thing. I actually don't even like the taste of Crystal Light or any of that stuff. I've always been a water drinker, so I'm always looking for different things to put in my water.
So which vitamin B should we be taking more of? Well, that really depends on you. This is a complicated question. This is where both genetic testing and organic acid testing come into play. So what I'm going to tell you is some people genetically don't methylate well, and they'll naturally be lower in B6, B12, and folic acid. Those, I would rather see people take a little bit too much of these because you'll pee them out than not get enough. So I like the active form of B6, which is called P5TP, peroxidyl 5-phosphate. For folic acid, I like the 5-methyltetrahydrofolate form, and then B12. And actually, Thorne's got a great one, Jackie, I love, called B-complex number 12 that's higher in B12. The other thing that I find that a lot of people need more.
Okay, so we've had can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
great.
So the other one that's really important for your adrenal health if you're under a lot of stress, because when you're under stress, you blow out your B vitamins. And B5, which is pantothenic acid, is another one that's important if you're under a lot of stress. So those are the ones, I mean, I would take a really good B complex and then make sure it's got a high quality B complex. Look at having more B6, B12 folic acid. And if you're under a lot of stress, look at, you know, good levels of pantothenic acid. All right. Do all nuts have to be raw or can they have salt in them? If you're a salt lover, it could be one of two things. I'm a salt lover, and it's two things for me. Number one, I'm what's called a bitter taster or super taster genetically, and we tend to like salt because it's kind of tempers some of the taste down, buffers the taste. But also for your adrenal glands, salt is critical, but this is where you really want to make sure you're getting sea salt so you get all the minerals intact, not these salts that have been, you know, everything's been stripped from so they can sell it to the supplement companies. What you can do with nuts, this is actually my preferred way to serve nuts, it takes a little time. Get some pure spring water and put your nuts in a pan, like a saucepan, a big saucepan. So get some raw nuts, and you can do seeds too, put them in there, and then cover them with this pure spring water. You don't need to go higher than covering. Just cover them. Then put in some sea salt. And it depends on how many you put, you know, how much water you put in, like a quarter cup. And I also like to put in some cinnamon and let it soak overnight. And then drain off the water, spread it out on a cookie sheet, sprinkle a little bit more cinnamon if you want them to be cinnamony, and low roast them at like 225, 250 until they are a little crunchy.
Yum.
It's so darn good. I think it's like 4 hours. I mean, it's actually makes them much more digestible. They're really amazing. I mean, amazingly delicious. It's just I'm too darn lazy to do it. It's so pathetic.
Sounds so good. And also it sounds
so
like you
good.
Could even throw them in salads. You know, it could really taste up your salad. That's great.
Oh, it's so good. Well, and you know, also the nice thing is you can really experiment with, like, I made Italian. I mean, I have done this. You know, it's like I actually am a cook. I cooked today on TV, and I think my friends were laughing. But I was like, well, I really am a cook on TV. But, you know, it's because now I just like to assemble. And this is food assembly right here. But you can do any herbs and spices you want it. So you can make it savory. You can make it more sweet. So whatever you like, throw it on there. You know, you can put nutmeg. You can put cloves. You can make it kind of like pumpkin pie-ish nuts. Or you can make it savory nuts. You can put some spicy stuff on there. You can make it Indian style, right? So have at it.
Yum. All right, so the next one. Could you expand on how acne is related to dairy products?
Yes. So, you know, I got to tell you, this is, to me, very upsetting, the whole acne dairy thing, because I struggled with my skin so much as a teenager, and I went to so many dermatologists who kept telling me that food had nothing to do with it. Dairy products and sugar, high glycemic foods, have everything to do with acne. So sugar and starchy carbs that drive insulin up, and dairy, which, by the way, milk drives insulin up, are huge because androgens, first of all, when you look at dairy, dairy is loaded with hormones. And dairy also boosts, I mean, itself it's loaded with hormones. You can't get hormone-free dairy. It came from a cow. And it's loaded with growth hormones. That's what it's doing. Cows feed their calves milk to help them grow, right? Dairy boosts male sex hormones and both testosterone and other androgens. Okay, and increases insulin levels. So both androgens and insulin stimulate your skin to make zits, right? I mean, if you look at it, milk's intended to grow things, right? It's loaded with hormones. So that's how it works. And there's actually some very specific pathways, hormone pathways, that if you look this up, it goes down on how this happens. But I know that if I eat dairy, I get zits. I mean, it is amazing how quickly it happens, too, because I keep testing. Because I love, oh, my gosh, I love Greek-style yogurt so much. And
I love cheese. I love cheese.
Oh, and goat cheese. I love goat cheese, Greek-style yogurt. I mean, you know, I get zits immediately when I eat that stuff. Eat it. 2 days later, zit. Just like, great.
All right, the next one. How long can I stay on this detox? Did I hear you say 3 weeks was better than just the two?
3 to 4 weeks would be better than two, but to be quite honest with you, and we'll talk about that in week three, you can really stay on a modified form of this forever. This is not that far off of how I roll. So we're going to talk about what to keep with you, what you can modify a bit, but, you know, would you be healthier if you just did this forever? Yeah. I would like to make sure you're getting enough vegetables. Right? But quite often I have two shakes a day. Spike it with more vegetables and add in your meal and maybe have a, you know, a snack. But you could stay like this forever. But we're going to give you tools to show you. Again, if you wanted to do the cleanse for another 2 weeks after the first 2 weeks, go right ahead.
That dovetails perfectly into this next question. Can I continue to stay on and use this plan as a diet plan to lose weight until I've reached my healthy weight and then change to one shake a day just like you said you do? I like the fact that I don't have to think about making meal choices or planning for more than one meal a day to drop these pounds.
this is a woman or man after my heart. Now, here's what I would tell you. Like, I have next week, week two, what you're doing is what I use as my plateau busting week, where we really lower the carbs and we lower the fat a little bit more if you're in this to lose weight, which most people seem to be in it to lose a deal, right? And you could go in between week one and week two and stay on this for – you could stay on it. I mean, you could stay on it forever, honestly. So you can absolutely do that. The other thing I want to tell you is, and we'll talk about this more in week three, you can always come back and throw the cleanse into your life. Like, I periodically do a week or two cleanse. It's what I do. So I eat this way. I get what I call an A-minus on my diet all of the time. But an A-minus is not an A-plus. And so I like to do a cleanse. And it's great because, you know, when I do these cleanses, then I do the cleanse. So it forces me to go and do them. And just make sure that things aren't sneaking in, right? Mm-hmm. So, which for me means, you know, an extra glass of wine or a little too much coffee is usually where my bad behavior, I, you know, hog out on some dark chocolate. So,
yeah.
You know, but it does. It gets you on the straight and narrow, and we all need that. It really helps you because, you know, losing weight is different than keeping weight off. We'll talk about that in week three, too. And so I want to make sure that we're giving you things that you can use that become a part of your toolkit, right?
Absolutely. So. Next question really quick. Can we use pure vanilla?
Sure.
Why flax?
I love flax. Flax is freshly ground flaxseed meal. It's very healing, gut healing, and it also is anti-inflammatory because it's rich in omega-3s, and it's also been shown to reduce the risk of breast cancer in studies and helps with, you know, reducing estrogen dominance. So I like it for those reasons too. Now, someone asked, are we getting more simple meal, shake, and snack recipes? You will have more in week two. So hang tight. You got more in week two. And Let's see.
When calculating daily fats, do you count the coconut water, milk, and the shakes as a daily fat or no?
It's really a half a one, honestly. Okay. You know, and I give you a range, and that's why.
And coconut water is very different than coconut milk.
Yeah. There's no coconut.
No.
There's no fat.
Yeah.
Water. And the coconut milk we're using, it's not like the canned coconut milk. It's 50 calories for a cup, and that's so you're really getting about a half a fat serving there. So if someone wanted to know the ideal times to have the shakes, it really doesn't matter. Whatever works for you is the ideal time. And someone else wanted to know if we could spread the shake out over an hour for you to drink it all at once. No, you can do it over an hour. That's fine. And someone had, they said, also I tried to be good, but gave into a bite of a pancake or one or two M&Ms. Okay, I'm sorry, did you give into a bite of pancake or did you give into one or two M&Ms? Does that throw everything off or this effect? I've reduced the bad stuff to a minimum, more important. Okay, so here's the deal. We're not doing a true elimination trial diet. We've pulled out the foods that can cause reactions, and when you pull them out, one of the stories I gave was when you pull these things out, you need to pull them out 100%. Because if you're someone who reacts to, let's say, eggs or gluten or dairy, and it's like sitting on tacks. If you're sitting on four tacks and I pull three tacks off the chair and you sit back down, your butt's still going to hurt. You're still sitting on a tack. So if you're reacting to these foods, even the littlest bit will cause that toxic response. So unfortunately, it's not good. I'm not going to say, oh, my gosh, you know, just throw in the towel, give up. No. Hey, if you could go another week out, great. Okay, that's what I'd ask you to do. But, you know, I've got to say, it looks like Kim Fab W, but that I'm really proud of you for, A, coming clean about doing it, and, B, stopping at that. So you get a gold star for that. I'm glad you reduced the bad stuff to a minimum, but I would like you to now for this next week get it gone, okay? Because we've got to see how you feel when you totally pull it. And a lot of times, if you are having food reactions, you'll crave it so much that you can't stand yourself and you just have to have a bite of pancake. To me, that is symptomatic of having an issue, right? So pull it out. All right. I think we've talked about the shakes there.
And then
you can
read the next question.
Yay! Can't believe I'm talking about poop. Esther, I told Jackie, if we talk about poop, you'll see everybody will want to talk about it. You know, and then I have Jackie calling me about her poop, so see? This is a fun
show. I know. I'm not calling in and asking the question publicly,
actually,
but this is what this is so great for.
Yeah, even her husband called me and asked about his poop. I go, see, I told you guys. Can't believe I'm talking poop, especially since it hasn't been a big issue for me. But now, even though the cleanse has been going well and I'm happy, yikes! What came out the same was weird, grayish, stringy, she had some pictures here, or elongated clumps with pointy ends and oddly smooth looking on the surface. The days before have been much clumpier than usual, smaller nuggets, not pellets, but regularly round, a bit harder than usual, dark brown. Help! JJ and Jackie, WTF? Question mark. Okay, your advice is much appreciated. Otherwise, I'm loving, capitalized, the cleanse. Don't feel hungry. Feel energetic. No cravings. It's awesome. Okay, so I don't know, unfortunately, exactly what you're doing. I don't know if you're doing the Berber caps, or because this could be yeast die-off, gut bacterial overgrowth die-off. It can be an adjustment in the fiber. I don't know what your diet was like before, but it sounds like when you had first little rabbit pellets, now it's coming to this. It's some adjustment to the fiber. So if you aren't doing the Berber caps and the BioGest and the probiotics, the Cleanse Plus, please do. I want you to get those if you're not doing them. If you are doing it, it's just some of the adjustment now to more fiber and probably a little die-off going on there. So that would be my guess. Here's the next one. Each night I've gotten incredibly bad. And by the way, for our next Q&A, if you want to give me more details or if you want to send in more details, we can always answer it on the forum. Each night I've gotten an incredibly bad headache, usually around 9 o'clock. It comes out of the blue. I usually sleep it off. So one morning I woke up with it normal. Anything I should adjust? Please tell me they will pass. They will pass, I'll tell you that. Note, I did taper off caffeine the week prior and have had withdrawal headaches before. This type of headache I'm now getting feels different. I'm just wondering if it's more of a little sugar headache, I'm not sure quite what it is, if it's more of a sugar thing. I would expect already it's probably gone. But if not, I would try having a couple apple slices or, like, a great thing would be have some turkey slices on a brown rice cake and see if that takes care of it. Or a little celery with a little almond butter or a couple apple slices with a little almond butter and let me know if that goes, okay? See if that works. I would be surprised. Caffeine, I wouldn't expect that headache to happen then. I'd expect that to happen more in the morning. So let's see if that happens. The only issue I did not check yesterday was problems with quality of sleep. Now, the only issue I'm having is sleep quality. I'm waking up a lot in the middle of the night and tossing around for the rest. Will it pass? When I hear that, I'm wondering, are you hungry? Are you eating enough? Make sure you're eating what we're telling you to eat. You might need to pump the overall amounts up a little bit because that sounds more like you're hungry. Or you're getting off of sugar. Could be either one of those things. So this is the same person. I would try a snack before bed. You heard me right, but let's do it an hour or two before bed and report in. I want to know. And then number three, are the detox and other digestive supplements something someone could continue after the cleanse is over, or are they only taken during this type of program? Berber caps, here's the thing. Detox packets, you could absolutely be on for the long haul. I use detox supplements forever because, honestly, we're always detoxifying daily. Digestive enzymes, I think anyone over the age of 30 should be on. And probiotics, generally I have people on them for at least 6 months, and then depending on what's going on, we may cycle them. So that just depends on what you need. And, again, we're going to be doing a lot more supplement education because I can tell this is really needed and we have a great forum for it. The Berber caps, it just depends. I will use them for 1 to 3 months to do small intestinal bacterial overgrowth die-off to get rid of that and to help support and rebuild healthy gut flora. After that point, it's really good for blood sugar balancing. So if someone's got problems with hypoglycemia or blood sugar balance, I'll use it for that. But I find normally I only need to use those for 1 to 3 months. Okay, so that answers that. Let's see. So the Fresh Start Cleanse is a 14-day cleanse, and JJ has referred to it as a 3-week cleanse. Sometimes, oops. So oops is what I would say there.
And there's also, but there is a week three.
Yeah, well, see, there's
beginning a week three class. So that's
right.
Why. And plus, we have a Q&A at the beginning of week four. So
right.
I think that is, where the 3 weeks is coming
from. And let me tell you why we did that. I don't want to. I see some programs where they have you on a 2-week cleanse, and they go, bye. And I
right.
just, don't understand that because
I don't either.
The most important thing is afterwards. To me, I want to make sure that you keep what you got and that you build on it and that you bring things into your way of life and that you understand what you can do long term, because I see that question getting asked a lot, and when should you do this again? So I'm just not ready to let go. It's part of it, I guess. And then secondly, the reason we did a Q&A a week after that is I find that some people get a little bit of a late start, but things pop up as you kind of go back to everyday life, and I don't want you to feel like, you know, you've lost your umbilical cord here. You're disconnected. So it's really so that we can be here to support you, okay? Hope you feel supported. You talk about the Vagalite shakes. You talk about the Vagalite shakes tasting so good. The first one about gagged me. I'm acquiring a taste for them, but really can't say they're good. Certainly not something I look forward to. After the cleanse, is it recommended to continue with these shakes, and must I include the Metabulk? Okay. So you know what? I like your attitude, though. You're trying to figure it out. And what I'd say is everybody's got different tastes. So if you like cake batter, you know, I've got some people who just love the vanilla Vagalite because they like cake batter, and I personally think the chocolate's just great. And it's funny, though, when I first tried the vanilla, it was a little sweet for me. I tend to like things that aren't so sweet, but now that I've been using it for a while, I really like it. So I find I can pretty much adjust to anything. We've given you a lot more recipes, or if we haven't, they're coming. And the deal is everybody's got different tastes. Like, I'll use a little cinnamon here and there, but I'm not, like, a big cinnamon fan. Where some people I know love that. So you've got to figure out what do you like. You might like a peach shake with coconut milk and cinnamon. I would not like that, you know. So I think it's
And I remember one shake that I said that you just said, oh, that does not sound good. I was almost a banana nut sandwich, you know, with the hemp seed and a half a banana. And you said, that is not for me. Of course, I love that. So it really is you got to figure out what works for you.
Hempy thing at all. Like, and it's funny, freshly ground flax seeds, I love them with peach. I don't like them with berries, so, I mean, I'm really weird about which things I like things with. I'll tell you two things you can play around with are almond butter, cashew butter, macadamia nut butter, which is, like, the bomb. You can play around with those. So there's a lot of things you can play around with to figure out what you like. You may be someone who sometimes I like to take the chocolate Vagalite and coconut milk and almond butter and make a shake with ice, and then I just have berries on the side. I don't want them messing with my chocolate. So, you know, see what you like. Mess around with these things. And really try right now to do the twice-a-day shake. See what you can do. And, again, Jackie throws in kale and spinach. So give that one a shot, too. The other person had taken the Metabulk down a little bit. Try that for yourself. A half a tablespoon, and then bring in some flax or some chia or some hemp. But I like the attitude of how do I make this taste good? Play around with them to see what you like. It's so funny because no matter which shake I recommend, and I've been using shakes for 20 years and recommending them, some people just love them, some people hate them, and some people are neutral. It doesn't matter which one it is. It's always that way. What is the purpose of Berber caps and Bacillus coagulans? So Berber caps are for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is really the balance of healthy versus other flora in your gut. You know, we have over 500 species of bugs in our gut. And we have an amazing amount of gut bugs. Basically, we want to make sure we have mainly good ones, not too many bad ones. And so Berber caps help kill off the bad while balancing out the good bacteria, and Bacillus coagulans helps rebuild the good bacteria. So that's what that's for. After 3 days on the cleanse, I'm not feeling anything differently. When will I start to notice positive changes in the way I feel? Okay, so it's different for everybody. Some people feel bad for the first couple days if they're getting off of dairy or if they have food sensitivities, which I talked about. I'm sorry, if they're getting off of sugar or they have food sensitivities. Some people feel great from the start and just start feeling better and better and better. I generally find that it takes, and this is why I was warning Jackie, as like, you know, there was whining in the forum. I said the first couple days, 3 to 5 days, you're going to want to like hide. And then 5 days, 7 days, people go, oh, I noticed difference. Now, the reason I have people fill out the symptoms checklist prior to starting is because some people forget about things that they were feeling. And at the end, when we go back and we compare, they go, wow, you know, my joint pain is gone. I remember I've had 5 knee surgeries, and my knee just always used to hurt. And then I took some things out of my diet, and I noticed my knee didn't hurt anymore, but I didn't actually notice it. I didn't notice it till someone else pointed out that they could kind of tell from the way I was moving that my knee didn't hurt anymore. And I was like, oh, I forgot, you know.
Wow.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah, food reactions can cause joint pain. So, I mean, I know immediately if I do gluten, my fingers are swollen the next day. So, and it's funny, back when I used to do gluten, I never noticed it because they were always chronically slightly so. Mm-hmm. That's why people can't say, I know I don't have this. Well, you really don't until you pull it all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there a better time today to take supplements? I think we talked about that. We're going to give more recipes, but here's one I love. Is there a recipe for the shakes that you use that doesn't involve ice? I'm worried about January. I love that you're worried about January. So what I do, I have a couple different things that I do. Number one, I heat up this cherry berry mix from Trader Joe's. It's not organic, full disclosure, but it's so darn good I can't stand it. So I heat that up, and then I throw in chocolate Vegalite with a little coconut milk, just enough to make it so it's a little pudding-ish. And then I put sprinkled shaved almonds on top. So good. So I've been doing those kinds of, like, it's kind of like a soupy thing, like a warm soupy pudding thing. That's what I do, how I make it, with warm fruit and then either vanilla or chocolate melted in a little bit of coconut milk. And then I stir it all up and I put chopped nuts on top. And I'll throw some chia seeds
almost like hot chocolate in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
well, you can do a hot chocolate. You know, you can do, like, I will take, the other day I've been messing around with this. You know, I took a little bit of the Medi Bulk, a little bit of chia, chocolate Vegalite, hot coffee, and made a mocha and some coconut milk. Totally worked. Delicious. So, you know, you can mess around with this and make all sorts of different stuff.
And you can still get the same nutritional equivalence when it's warm, correct? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Now,
yeah.
Here's another one you can do. If you can, you know, I can't eat, I don't know, I'm a low-carb genotype. I've done all my genetic profiling myself, so you hear me talk about, well, I'm a bitter taster, and I'm a low-carb genotype. So I don't handle carbohydrates real well. So if I eat oatmeal for breakfast, I have a blood sugar crash a little while later. But what I do is I will have, I mean, I can have a little bit of gluten-free oatmeal or a little bit of like a you know, brown rice cereal, hot cereal, and then I put in a big scoop of protein powder with that and chopped nuts, and I can do it that way, and I make it very soupy, like very runny. So that's another thing. You can make your hot winter cereal with protein powder and nuts. So, Jackie, someone wanted to know how to intensify the cleanse so they can do more over the weekend. We are posting that how to intensify the cleanse handout, right? Is that posted already?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We'll get that.
Okay.
We don't have that up now, but we'll get it.
All right. So that's up. We'll be up. So check that out. Can you give an idea of the types of results you've seen in the end of this cleanse? Okay. I've seen 5 to 12 pounds of weight loss. Skin clears up, thinking straight, regular BMs every single day, great energy, focus, mental clarity, dropped 1 to 2 sizes. Those are the biggies that I can think of that people tell me about, which are great.
Yeah.
So those are what I generally hear. Oh, and one other one that I hear that I love is that they broke the cravings and the bad habits because this is enough time to do that.
Well, my skin just looks so good after 5 days that it's really going to be hard for me to go even back to the small amounts of the because I was having such small amounts of dairy. It's going to be very hard to even think about going back there.
You'll do it and you'll break out and then you'll
right.
go, okay. Not
worth it. Yeah.
Okay, we're almost through it. I have a question regarding, although I do have to say, someone said, I have to say this cleanse is great. I was nervous about doing this cleanse, but I found great success in following the program without being starving or too crabby. Looking forward to the next level of health and weight loss. Thanks again. I have a question regarding fruit and the other meal you eat that isn't a shake. In the first call, JJ mentioned not eating fruit until week 2 of the cleanse. No. That's That was not right. So something's wrong. I don't remember that from the materials. I didn't remember that from the materials you read or the foods besides the main six we shouldn't be eating during the cleanse and the schedule for when to reintroduce them. I'm not sure what that what she means by that. Here's the deal. Two fruits a day. You shouldn't be eating more than two fruits a day. So you're getting them basically in your shake. If you're doing a half a cup of fruit in your shakes, you could have a fruit for a snack with almond butter, but it was that you wouldn't be eating fruit outside your shakes because you would be eating too much fruit. I think that was the confusion. You will be getting a schedule of how to reintroduce foods in week three. That's what we'll discuss in week three. You'll get a food tracker, and we'll talk about it. All right. Although I enjoy the shakes, I find that they don't fill me up, and I'm still either hungry or after eating them or hungry an hour later. Is there something I can eat between or with it? And I got to tell you, Jackie and I sat there both talking about this question because I really can't believe anyone's still hungry after if they're making the shakes the way we're having you make them. I mean, I'm stuffed. So if you're making it with a cup of fruit and a tablespoon of Muddy Bulk, and a scoop of the protein, Vegalite, and a cup of coconut milk, and then you could either add a tablespoon of almond butter or a tablespoon of freshly ground flax chia or hemp. Okay, if you're, you can't be hungry. I mean, you just can't be hungry. It's just too much food. So can you report back to us on that? Because I'm really curious on that. Do it exactly that way and let us know.
And has there ever been in any case that you've seen where people are still hungry because maybe other things are going on with them in terms of a health profile?
Not in an hour if they eat that way. It could be 2 to 3 hours if they're hypoglycemic and insulin resistant. If you've got someone who's insulin resistant, what I found working with them is that, you know, as we get the more insulin sensitive, which happens very rapidly eating this way, the first week we might have to, they can only go 2 hours in between meals, and so what I have them do is eat 10 nuts and then go another 2 to 3 hours. But for most people, what I find is they can go at least 3 hours, and we can give them 10 nuts, and they can go another 3 hours, and it changes over to 4 hours almost immediately. I mean, it's a very fast fix. But if you've got someone who is reactively hypoglycemic, I mean, this is they have blood sugar problems, and they might have to do a little bit of, say, you know, nuts are such a great one for that, but they can't wait till they crash, then nuts won't work. Then you need something, you know, more carby. JJ Virgin really knows a lot about intolerances. It is my, like, total love of my life right now, I got to tell you. I wanted to know from her if it's possible to have an intolerance to dried mango. I definitely am addicted to it, but I'm not sure. I'm feeling like I have a candidate for freaky eaters right here. I'm addicted to it, but I'm not sure if it's the sugar. I don't feel the addiction to any other fruits or even sweets. The other day I've been eating well. Then I ate some dried mango. My stomach was killing me. I'm not sure if that was also due to my having little to eat besides the shake in the morning. She's also been having extreme bloat, stuffed full feeling. I can't even suck in. I'm so swollen. I was having bowel movements every day and now been struggling today. Okay, so if you aren't doing the BioGess and probiotics and Berber caps, please get them. And if you brought up your fiber too fast, back it down a little bit. And that magnesium citrate would be another great thing for you. But I'm wondering if you're reacting to the sulfites in the dried mango. I don't know. So it just sounds like you've got a because dried fruit's got sulfites most of the time. Maybe yours don't. You can get it without, but most of it does.
Wow.
So I'm not sure if that was doing it. And I don't know if you're on the Berber caps and BioGest and probiotics, but I would sense that probably your fiber went up fast, and if you bring your fiber up too quickly, it can constipate you first before you start going. So that's probably the first thing, and that's why you're feeling stuffed and bloated. Okay, so you can back it down a little bit. Make sure you're getting your water in between meals, but digestive enzymes, probiotics are going to be saviors for you. Get those right away. And then let's just get that mango out of the house. Get it out of the house. Dried fruit, by the way, is not on the plan. It is candy. Okay, so I want you all to understand dried fruit is candy. Juice is soda, okay, unless it's a straight green drink. Juice is soda and dried fruit is candy because I think we try to, you know, just like popcorn or chips. If you think of it that way, you'll stop doing it. Okay, will you
or even I just have a quick question. Even like people are adding dried cranberries to their salads. You're saying all dried fruit
is candy.
So
you're adding candy to your salad. Stop it.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Okay,
I think that's good for everybody to know.
Please report. Now, that doesn't mean long haul. Could you have a little bit, if you're maintaining your weight, maybe you could have a little bit of dried goji berries in your salad here and there, but for now, no. Mm-hmm. Sarah, please report back to us, okay? Jackie and JJ, I'm really loving this cleanse. This is the last question, by the way. And continuing and looking forward to continuing to feel better each day. I will miss the first half of the call tomorrow, so sending my questions in advance. How often should we do a cleanse like what we're currently doing? I think that they're great to do 2 to 4 times a year. That's what I generally – I actually end up doing them probably 3-4 times a year. I've had itchy skin issues since getting pregnant with my first son, who is now 18 years old. I still seem to be having some itchiness while on this cleanse and sticking to the shake food plan. Is that to be expected throughout the cleanse detox process? Do you think I can look forward to this resolving itself if I continue to avoid the processed foods and allergy trigger foods? I don't believe this has got anything to do with foods. I believe that this is a GLA deficiency. You've had it since getting pregnant with your first son. And that fits in because if you breastfed, you offload a lot of your GLA. So I would tell you to get something called blackcurrant oil. Jackie, that's another one you're going to need. Get blackcurrant oil. That's a Thorne product. It's awesome. I have everyone who wants to have great skin take it.
Blackcurrant oil.
Okay. Blackcurrant oil. I take blackcurrant oil. I take 3 a day. And that's what I'd love to start you with, and I'd also tell you to take the probiotics. And let's see how you do in a month. I have a feeling that that will resolve itself in a matter of weeks, and I'm so excited to hear that. So please tell us, because I love hearing that stuff. You know, a lot of skin issues are related to digestion, but it just happens that this you're saying something about the whole pregnancy and stuff, and I just think, oh, GLA. It may be the food stuff, and it definitely – definitely removing reactive foods is not going to hurt it, but I definitely think that you need to get on the GLA. And also, we've addressed this, like the pea rice shake, you won't develop a tolerance to. It's so, so rare. That's why I do it. I have about 35 pounds released. For that much weight loss after this cleanse is over, do you recommend following our current eating plan twice a day and having a shake once a day, alternating with 1 meal a day and 2 shakes a day for a few days a week? You know, you can actually do however it works best with your lifestyle. I find with my lifestyle, some days I do 2 shakes, some days I do 1 day shake a day. I always have a shake. There's never a day I can think of, and I can't even think of when, where I haven't had a shake as one of the meals. But a lot of times I'll have it for 2 of the meals. So we're going to give you a plan at the end that you can follow, but you might just want to stay on this plan for, you know, another month or two. Until you get too closer to where you want to be. Totally up to you. So it's really about what's going to work best for your lifestyle because, you know, we want to make sure that you can stay on this for the long haul. And that's why we also are going, you know, that's why we're having our class 3 because the long haul is very different than the 1 to 2 weeks. So it may be that for you to stay on for the long haul, 1 shake works better for you and 2 meals. So, again, we'll address that week 3.
And,
okay.
And Natasha, I wanted to ask, because I know we have so many participants on the call, but maybe people just wanted to listen. Is there anyone else that wants to ask a question live?
I do have a couple more questions in queue. Our next question comes from Kim. Kim, please go ahead.
Hi, Jackie, JJ. You actually already answered my questions. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make the call. So I was the one with the sleep problems and the headaches.
Oh, okay. All
so,
right.
But I do have one quick question. You keep referencing leaky gut. What do you mean by that?
Leaky gut is where your gut wall, which is a semi-permeable membrane, gets more permeable, and food particles that have not been totally digested and should not be going out into general circulation get out, and your body launches an immune attack against them. And if you don't eat too much of something, then it can get rid of these immune complexes. But if you're eating a lot of something, those immune complexes build up and cause things like joint pain and skin problems and brain fog and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, everything that I have. Okay, thanks.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you, and we'll take the next caller.
Our next question is another one from Shawnee. Shawnee, please go ahead.
Hi. I have a list of grains. I was going to make sure that they were okay. Barley.
God, now I'm going to have to pull up my gluten-free list.
Yeah, no, barley has wheat in it.
So yes. I'm pull up my gluten-free list, too.
Okay.
I generally go rice, quinoa. Kind of easier to go after the ones that are
not gluten-free because almost all of them have gluten.
Yeah,
that are gluten-free, sorry, because almost all of them have gluten.
Okay, that's good to know. And spelt?
Spelt, it really depends. It usually does, and it's usually from especially what we've seen with the peer trainer community, it can be problematic, but it's not 100% problematic.
Okay. And buckwheat?
Buckwheat is, go ahead, sorry. It's a seed.
Yeah, buckwheat's gluten-free. Yeah.
Okay.
Buckwheat, millet, quinoa, rice.
Okay.
Are the big ones.
I had a mix that I was making a shake out of, and it had all of that, and it was very filling. So maybe I could do that with the turkey and a fruit and water.
Okay.
Perfect. And tuna, is that no due to the mercury?
You know, I've gotten very, very careful with tuna. I think tuna, you know, it's kind of hard when they tell you tuna is a mid-range mercury fish and you should eat it once a month. I'm thinking, well, should you eat it once a month? You know, I mean, like, to get a little mercury once a month. So, you know, I just wouldn't go crazy with tuna. I wouldn't really put that on the fishy eat list. I'd rather see you eat other things and, yeah.
Okay.
Not a fan. If you are going to do it, at least eat chuck white.
Kamut, I don't know. Kamut. Another grain. Is that?
That one's got gluten. Kamut's got gluten.
Okay. And what about food tolerance exams? How much do they cost? And
we are actually running a special on ours right now until Monday, I believe. And they can range anywhere. It just depends because you go through a practitioner, so it depends what the practitioner charges for it, you know, a couple $100 usually to lots of hundred. So, I mean, I've seen them anywhere from 300 to 1,000, depending on what you're getting done.
And even if I got that done here, it's pretty much the same everywhere? Or?
Well, it depends what your practitioner charges too, because you have the lab costs, and then the practitioner has to review it. So, you know, you've got both sides of that equation. So, you know, it depends on how much they charge on their end, right?
And my daughter is allergic to pine nuts, and we've never done the actual test. I just saw from observing, and so we are going to do the test, but her doctor didn't want to do a whole list of allergy testing. She just wanted to test for the pine nuts.
To me that sounds just stupid because if you already know she's allergic to pine nuts, why do you need to spend the money on a test to verify that?
Okay, we just went into to see.
You know that
you
one,
know,
you don't know the
really
other one.
Allergic.
So, but what happens when she eats them?
Well, it only happened when she was a baby twice, and her face turned red around her mouth where she ate it, and then after a couple of hours, she started swelling. Her face started swelling.
Okay, so there's different kinds of. Where do you live? Which part of the country?
In Tuscany.
Oh, okay, that's tough.
Pesto, you know, a big one here.
Huh?
So we you know, eating pesto is pine nuts are
right.
Served in a lot of things.
Yeah. So I mean, the challenge is there's different kinds of food reactions. There's IgE, which means you eat it and something immediately happens, like you get red around your mouth. That's an immediate reaction. There's IgG reactions. Those are delayed. So you need to test for both because it sounds like she's got both.
Okay.
And the issue is both. First of all, anyone who's got any kind of allergenic stuff, I'd yank gluten out anyway. I'd get gluten gone. But if she's allergic to one type of nut or seed, chances are high that because that's IgE, more allergic, not intolerant. Chances are high she's got other allergic responses to, because tree nuts are one of the high allergy foods, not food intolerances like a sensitivity. It's different, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would do an IgE and an IgG, and I definitely include all the nuts and seeds in there to both of it. But also, you know, children's allergies have gone up like some crazy percentage. I just pulled out the study. I'm wondering, it's somewhere down here on the floor where I'm sitting, of how much children's allergies have gone up. And a lot of that, I think, is because of using antibiotics when they're babies, not having good gut flora. So the other thing you should look at is making sure she's got good, healthy gut flora, maybe getting her on probiotics, watching things like gluten, you know, the other things that are critical there, too, to have a good GI system. Right.
And the IgG, will that test also for milk, lactose intolerance?
Yeah, have them do a comprehensive IgG, IgE test.
Okay, we have time for one more question, and then we're wrapping up. So thank you.
Our last question comes from Carrie. Carrie, please go ahead.
Hi. I know this question might have been asked already before, so I apologize. I just joined on second half, or should I say last two-thirds of the call. I also am someone that doesn't love the texture of the shake with the Metabulk, and so I'll try some of the suggestions of lowering it and adding the different seeds instead of I've just kind of been putting it down. Does after the cleanse, the two-week cleanse, do you continue with the Metabulk if you were using the shakes in the diet? Some of the shakes you were sort of talking about didn't always include it when you were just talking amongst yourselves. So I was just wondering
I generally use the Metabulk, I'd say probably 5 out of 7 times a week. But I do shakes like quite often in the afternoon. I'll do like a second shake. So I can usually get in the Metabulk again at least 5 days out of the week, if not 7. I'm always looking for how I can get more fiber in my diet because again of what it does, like, you know, healthy gut flora and all of that. Like, so anything I can do, I do nuts and seeds, but I also throw in the extra. So if you can get into it, great. I mean, if you hate it and you're not going to be compliant with it, then don't torture yourself, right?
Well, I actually tried, which I did today, was actually just do like the instructions on the jar and just put it in water and drank that separately.
Uh-huh.
And then had my shake without it.
And you can do it?
Yeah, I could do that. That seemed better. I just didn't like that. I felt like it ruined the flavor of the shake for me, and the texture just got to me.
Okay, well, that's a good solution. I love that you figured that one out. Yay.
Okay.
And some people are combining it with applesauce, I saw, which apparently some people really liked. That's always another option.
I got to tell you, too, one of the things that I did, I had a woman who just had such a painful gut, and I told her, listen, you've got to eat applesauce every day. That'll help you. So start eating applesauce. She said, okay. I said, so eat applesauce, eat fiber, eat protein powder. But she didn't understand me. What she did was combine all of it together. Not what I meant, right? And she goes, okay, well, I'm eating that mixture. I go, what? You know that one you told me. But it turns out that it was like the best thing for stabilizing her blood sugar and healing her gut. So you know, that's another option is you can make a kind of an applesauce shake, but you can always take the applesauce and some fiber and mix it together and, you know, have that as your in place of your fruit and your shake. That's another option. And then have your shake separately.
That's great. And I switched to decaf coffee, and I've been mixing that with my shakes, which is really good. And that's not a problem. And eating the fruit separately, too.
Yeah, so perfect. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like find what works. That's the takeaway from that, and that's what you did. So, cool.
Okay, great.
Well, great. That wraps us up. That was a lot of questions. And I know JJ said if you want to follow up, we have another Q&A session. So JJ asked a lot of you to report back. So hopefully we'll be, you know, being able to answer a lot of those in the next Q&A session.
Yes. Yay.
So thanks for all your questions. Keep them coming. As you can see, we categorized them all. JJ really got to almost all of them. And we will see you live on the next Q&A call. So thanks.